is from here at Word of Deliverance Church, and she's been here for several years now, and so we love to have her. She is currently a student at Shepherd University studying education. Yep, I told you, smart cookies. Smart cookies. So I would like to welcome her up here this morning to speak with you guys, and you know, I just want to hear what she has to share with you today, because she certainly has a powerful word of God inside of her, and I know that she's going to share what is on her heart today and what the Lord has laid on her and her purpose here. So come on up, Britt.
Thank you, Trish. Let me get situated up here really quick. All right. Today I want to talk to you about a few things, so bear with me. I'm going to start out with something and then probably transition into something else. But I don't know if everyone knows, but last July I did some mission work over in Africa. And so I kind of decided I wanted to share a little bit about my experience with you guys, you know, show you guys some pictures just to see what it was like and share some testimonies, and then maybe transition into a little message. So, Jamie, could you put up that PowerPoint? So, yeah, so a little backstory. So I went to Africa in July last year, and, you know, I always saw that people did mission work in Africa when I was probably your age, and I was like, wow, that's so cool. But I'll never do that. You know, I'll never have the chance to do that, you know? Because, you know, you don't really realize the opportunities you have until literally it's put in front of you sometimes. And so I'm a part of a ministry at my campus. It's called Delight Ministries. And we had a speaker come in, and she was from an organization called Overland Missions. And so she spoke about missions, and I was like, that sounds really cool. Like, I want to do that. And so I put my name on the list, and I was like, I'll get the information. And I was still like, but, you know, I probably won't be able to go, you know. Probably costs a lot of money, probably, you know, there's a lot more to it than just what she said. But the next day, she texted me, and she was like, hey, this is Jasmine. I want to meet up with you. I want to talk about this. And so we met up, and she was like, you know, I mean, anyone could sign up for this. And there were only like 6 girls who signed up. So, you know, not everyone felt the pull to sign up. So that was kind of said something to me. And after talking, we kind of, you know, she told me how I could fundraise and everything. And so I was like, all right. So I like took a little bit to, you know, really decide. And once I decided I was full, like all in. And so that is one thing. I'm so grateful for this house. I mean, I truly could not have gone to Africa without their support. The way that they just sewed into me and just truly believed in, you know, what God had put into my heart. I'm so grateful for that. So, but yeah, I just want to share a little bit about my experience and then maybe jump into a little bit of a quick message afterwards and a transition. But yeah, so Jamie, could you put that first picture up? Yeah. So this is me and 2 other girls from my ministry. We flew from Dulles to Qatar, which was about a 13-hour flight. And then we had a 10-hour layover in Qatar, and then we flew another 8 hours to, I can't remember the exact part of Africa, so then we were there, and then we got on another plane, and we took another hour and a half flight on a little, basically jumper plane. All of our bags were overweight, so we were just praying it didn't go down, because we didn't read the requirements for the last flight, so, yeah, that's just me and my friend Kayleen Jill just getting ready to go. You can go to the next slide, Jamie. And then we made it to Africa, and we were on the way to where we were staying for the first night. And, you know, just the average thing is just seeing an elephant on the side of the road. You know, it's like deer here, but they have elephants, so they just cross. You can go to the next slide, Jamie. So the big thing in Africa, with Overland at least, there's a base, which is the organization is Overland Missions. There's a base where all the missionaries stay, prepare for their missions and everything. And then there's the bush, which is like the villages and everything. So this is the 14th rapid of the Zambezi River. So this is right on the base. You can see this. And so, yeah, this is about, it's right outside of town. It's on a long, bumpy dirt road, about 20 minutes. About 20 minutes from Victoria Falls. You can see the mist from the falls from base coming up in the air. Kind of like camp. You get 5 to 7 minute showers, so, you know, adults still have to do it too. And then you can go to the next slide, Jamie. And then one thing I really loved about the base was that they did worship every single morning. And they have a worship team, and they even recently came out with a new album that I really enjoy. So that was really cool. But, yeah, let's get into where the village is. So, Jamie, if you want to go to the next slide. All right. So this is the truck that we took into the villages. So basically, it's like a military truck. So we all sat. I think the next picture is what it looked like on the inside, Jamie. Yeah, so this is the inside. So we sat on the sides. Our bags were in the middle. And we had a huge team. I mean, normally a team is about 12 people. And I think with the leaders and everything, we had 30 people. So we loaded up into the truck. And then there's seats behind that, too. And we even had some people, like, laying across the bags, and then we took a Jeep into it. So, yeah, plenty of places. Could you go to the next slide, Jamie? This is us also on base. This is us getting ready to go into the villages. Last shower for a few days this day. So, if you go to the next slide. All right, and this was our sleeping arrangement. So, we stayed in tents for probably 6 days. Well, we stayed in tents on base, but in the village, we stayed in tents for 6 days. And when I say, I mean, we were in the middle of nowhere. I mean, the river, could you go to the next slide, Jamie? Oh, you can keep going. Yeah, keep going. This was a video, but it doesn't work on PowerPoint, so I'm kind of sad, but it's okay. This is like right next to our campsite. So I'm in Africa. So there's a lot of wildlife. You know, a few of the locals that were like on our team, I was telling Caleb this morning, there were like baboons on our campsite, and the locals would take slingshots with rocks and they'd shoot them out of the trees and you'd hear them fall. Like, I mean, we were in the wild. You can go to the next picture, Jamie. Yeah. So what do you guys think this is? Yeah, this is the shower and the long drop. So I think the shower is, I'm trying to remember. The shower is the straw one, and then the long drop is the one with the black, almost trash bag material. So that was our bathroom for 6 days. Hole in the ground about 5 feet deep. You know, if you got bad knees, not the best situation. But, you know, you make it through. Shower was a bucket of water over the fire. You warmed it up, put it in a bucket. That's all you got was one bucket. And then you take a rag and you just a rag shower. And then you dump the bucket on your head if you want to wash your hair. So, yeah. And then the next slide. This is just kind of like what the village looked like. I didn't take a lot of pictures in the village because it is their home. So you want to be respectful of that. But this is just one picture of what that it looks like. So I think it's almost like a clay, like a hard clay that they use to build their homes, and then straw roofs. So, yeah. Could you go to the next picture? All right, this is me cooking. So we cooked over the fire every single day. So we were cooking noodles this day. I was on noodle duty. I'm trying to think. We all had cleanup days. We made. And we didn't eat, I mean, we ate good food. We had fried rice, we had pasta, we had, that's all I remember, but yeah, I mean, we cooked and you had jobs, so you can go to the next photo, Jason. And then this is us a few days into the bush. So we're wearing skirts, those are called chitanges. So this is like cultural in Zambia. So this is what you would wear, this is what women are supposed to wear. And I'll tell you a funny story. I didn't have it in my notes, but it's a good one. We got to the village on the first day, and we were unloading the truck, and, you know, it's the first day of wearing chitenges. And reminder, I'm wearing, like, shorts under my chitenge. And so we're unloading the truck. Well, I go back, and I'm carrying a box, and one of the guys on our team was like, "Do you need help?" I'm like, "No, I got this." And he's like, "Your chitenge." So my chitenge is, like, down to here. And I had shorts on, but it's, like, culturally you're supposed to keep it on, so it's almost like, you know, you got to cover up. So that was funny, but, yeah. Can we go to the next slide? This was my team. We had a lot of people from Martinsburg area, Eastern Panhandle. We had some from, let me think, Georgia. We had some from Florida. So all over the place. Could you go to the next slide? You can keep going. I thought I updated the PowerPoint. You can keep going. Keep going. These are all parts of the things that we did, but just to, yeah, that's the falls. Keep going. I think that's where I wanted. Okay. All right. We'll just get into the ministry part. I had a few other things, but I think it might have gotten mixed up. So we had day one in the village. I didn't get any pictures from that, but I tried to share, like, one testimony. I wanted to share, like, one testimony a day from what I saw in the village. Maybe a few have too, because they're really hard to choose from. Some of them are really good. But so on day one, so basically our mission was we did door-to-door ministry. So what we were doing was we were going from house to house in these villages, and we'd go up and we'd start a conversation with them of some kind, and we'd find a way to, you know, ask them about their family, ask them about their jobs, and then we'd try to find a way to get going on sharing the gospel with them by starting that conversation. So that's what we did. So the first day, this was the second house of the day. It was a mother and a daughter. And, you know, after a little bit of conversation, you know, we asked them, you know, "Do you know who Jesus is?" And the thing with over there is they do know who Jesus is, but they have a really skewed perspective of him. And some people don't know about him, but, you know, they think that they're condemned and all of this these things. So these are just things that we're trying to tell them the truth, the real stuff. So they wanted to know more than what they already did. So we shared with them. We started with creation, ended with the resurrection. And then we always pray for the people at the end. We ask them if there's anything they need prayer for. So the mother had pain all over, and then the daughter had knee and hip pain. So we prayed for healing for them. And actually, this was like the first like cool thing I saw. The daughter got up, and you know she was sitting on the ground when we got there, and she like moved her knee like this, which like with knee pain, if it's really bad, you might not be able to do that. So that was really cool. All right, day two, and I had different leaders every day that I was working with, so there were different styles that we went with. So day two was probably my favorite. I have three from this day, but we just went about it in a different way. So day two, the second house we went to, there were about 15 people, and we were like, you know, let's do this differently. You know, let's act out the gospel. So we had, you know, the Garden of Eden. We had someone being the tree, someone being Adam, someone being Eve, and then we had someone being the cross, someone being Jesus. And so we did that, yeah, and so that was really cool. And then after that, we prayed for a woman who was having a hard time walking, and that woman that had a hard time walking, after we prayed for her, she got up and started dancing. She was like going crazy, dancing, jumping around, and so that was amazing to see. And then we went to the fourth house, and this was a family with four kids. So the parents knew about Jesus, and it was really cool because we were like, you know, like, can you tell us about him? And he was like, well, I was attacked by a hippo. And guys, I don't, like, hippos are, I think, the most dangerous animal in the world. Attacked by a hippo. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. They're one of the most dangerous in the world. One of them. attacked by a hippo, and he's still there to tell me about it. I mean, praise the Lord. And he told me how the Lord protected him and how Yeah, the Lord protected him. And so that day also, his oldest sons received Jesus into their heart. And then another crazy thing, we prayed for their daughter who had been attacked by an alligator. So, I mean, I know it sounds funny, but, like, that's a big deal. I mean, attacked by an alligator and they're both still alive. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah. All right. So this was our last stop of the day, and this might be my favorite part of the trip. I mean, I had tears in my eyes in this moment, and it was just probably one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. This is a boarding school, and this is in this picture. This is a boarding school, and we went there, and we acted out the gospel for them because they're kids, so we were doing that, and, you know, they were really interested. They were loving it. And we asked the kids if they wanted to accept Jesus into their hearts. And all of these hands raised, I don't know, some of them aren't very high, but some, you know, there's hands raised. All of them wanted to accept the Lord into their heart. And one thing that I forgot to share is alcoholism is a really big thing in these villages. I mean, that's a huge struggle where they're at. And so, you know, it was just a beautiful moment. And then we just prayed over them that they'd be the ones to break the generation of alcoholism and that they'd be filled with the Holy Spirit before alcohol ever reached a bone in their body. And so it was just amazing. And then you can go to the next slide. Yeah, so this is one of someone that we ministered to. So this was the second house. There were three people. Their names were Grace, Edwin, and Daniel. It was a aunt, uncle, and a nephew. And so Edwin, which was the uncle, knew a little bit about Jesus, or I'm sorry, Grace knew a little bit about Jesus, and Edwin and Daniel knew nothing. So shared the gospel and about the gift of salvation, and they all accepted Jesus in that moment. But Daniel and Edwin wanted prayer for their alcohol addiction, for it to be broken in the name of Jesus. So we prayed for them, you know. And this is Daniel in the picture. And Edwin. And then we prayed for them. And after we prayed, they said immediately, they were like, we don't ever want to take another sip. Like, and our leader had just seen Daniel in the bar the day before because the bar is in the middle of the village. And he saw him there. And so now he's, like, filled with the joy of the Lord. And it was beautiful. And even, like, a few days later, we saw him at a night meeting. And he was like, I haven't been back. I'm not going back. Like, my life has changed, and it was amazing. Yeah. All right, can we go to the next slide? You can keep going. All right. This was the fourth day, and we were in the village for 6 days. The first day was kind of like a prep day, and day five was like we're going to the schools. But by day four, we had already hit every house in the village. So we were going around and just doing, like, check-in, seeing how everyone was doing. And when we got to this house to do a check-in, there were 12 teenage boys. I mean, probably some your guys' age, some a little older. And they were from the local jail. They were allowed to, like, go free at certain times of the day. And they happened to be at this house, and they hadn't heard anything yet. And so we were talking to them, and none of them knew the gospel, but they wanted to know. And so we all shared with them, and they all were so eager. They wanted to accept the Lord into their hearts, and they all wanted Bibles. Unfortunately, we didn't have Bibles to give away, because one thing is, when you're over, like, as much as you want to give them things, we try not to, because then they think that we're only there, like, then they just want things, and so we try to stay away from that. But we wrote down as many scriptures as we possibly could on a piece of paper and gave it to them. And then we were all collecting Bibles or buying Bibles to send to the leaders of the village so that they could have Bibles at some point. And so one thing the boys asked for us to pray for was a mentor to come into their lives. And it was just a really pretty moment. And it was like one time where I saw, like, God's, I mean, I've seen it plenty of times before, but God's perfect timing. Like, someone had already been to the jail to minister, a group of the guys, and they had been there, and these boys weren't there when they were there. So, you know, we were supposed to be at that house at that time, and it was just a really good moment. Could you go to the next picture? Yeah. So this boy, I don't have his name, but he came up to us as we were ministering to another group, and he had been looking for us. He'd been searching for us. He'd walked all the way around the village trying to find us because he wanted to know the story that we were telling. He wanted to know what we were talking about. So we shared, and he wanted to accept Jesus into his heart. And this was a good moment, too, because his heart was so tender for the Lord. He was just overcome by the Spirit. He was, as we prayed for him, and he was crying. He just, like, you could see the Holy Spirit all over him, and he just wanted to find himself somewhere. And so he did that. Yeah. And then, yeah, so this is probably where I'm going to get ready to transition. So this was the night before, this was night four. And so every night we would do night meetings, and, you know, someone would speak, and then we'd sing songs and just give time, give room and time to minister to people. And so we got back from, we ministered from like 9 to 5, I think is what it was, or 9 to 4 maybe. And when I got back from, you know, our day, one of the leaders came up to me and was like, "Hey, you're going to share at the night meeting tonight." I'm like, "What? I don't have anything. I haven't prepped anything." She's like, "You got it. Like, you know, our team wants you to share." And so I was like, "Okay." So immediately went to my tent and started to pray. Because, I mean, I had 3 hours, which it seems like a long time. We had dinner to cook. We had all this stuff. And so I wanted to make sure that what I was sharing was from the Lord. And so I went into the tent and just began to pray. And the one thing that I heard was pick up your mat and go home. And I knew that was the story of the paralyzed man. And so that's what I spoke about that night. And so, you know, that night I spoke about healing and everything, but, you know, that story just was really heavy on my heart even after the trip. And, you know, since I've been back, I just realized how applicable it is. And so I actually want to take a look at it today. I'm going to transition into a message a little bit. So I want to pull up Luke 17 through 26. One day, as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law who had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem were sitting there, and the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralytic on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your heart? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." He said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." I want to look at a few parts here. And the only thing I could think was, wow. Imagine being lowered at the feet of Jesus. Your friends take you and they lower you through the roof and, you know, they go through all this to lower you to the feet of Jesus. But I want to look at verse 18 first. Some men came carrying a paralytic on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. So this man was paralyzed on a mat. When you're paralyzed, you're stuck. You're stuck in a position. He was stuck on something, the mat, that he couldn't get off of, and he was in a certain posture. And for his situation, he really couldn't help it, you know? And so I kind of began to think about how we can all feel stuck sometimes, you know? Stuck in, and the key word on that, feel. We can feel like we're stuck in a posture or a state. And, you know, like we're almost stuck. We're on this mat and we can't get up, you know? We're stuck. And so I was thinking about a few things that those could be. And I mean, we could be stuck on the thoughts of, you know, we might be stuck in our anxiety, the feeling of comparison, stress, sadness, rejection, or even, you know, like the paralyzed man, some things that we can't help. Like maybe there's some family problems that your family's having. And so sometimes we just feel like we're stuck and just in a position that we can't get out of. And so sometimes we get so attached to that mat and we just camp out there for a while. You know, we think, this is what I'm supposed to be. This is where I'm supposed to be. And we begin to think this about ourselves, but what it is that's not true. That's not of the word. And so, like I said, the man on the mat probably feels the same way. Like he'll never move. The good news is that his friends had other plans. And so I want to look at 19. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd right in front of Jesus. Man, I have some good news for you guys. You guys know that you've already been lowered at the feet of Jesus if you're here in this room right now, right? Maybe you were invited by a friend, a parent wanted you to come, your youth leaders encourage you to come. Whatever it is, they've lowered you at the feet of Jesus. They knew where you can encounter the Lord and have that moment and have that touch and have those words spoken over you. And they brought you here. They've lowered you here. You know, that long car ride, think of that as being lowered in to the feet of Jesus. So I want to go to verse 24. I want to stick to this part. He said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. Jesus steps in right here. He's doing what he always does, you know. He's intervening. And he says, get up, take your mat, and go home. I want to go to 25. Immediately, he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. When Jesus says, stand up, take your mat, and go home, this isn't an hours of, you know, for this man to stand, minutes, not immediately. He stands up. In this moment, the man is healed, and Jesus healed him with authority. I mean, he spoke it over him. Jesus has intervened, and he is now out of the position that he felt so stuck in. And I was just thinking, one encounter with Jesus, it might be an outdoor sports. It might be up here in the altar. It might be in the girls' dorm. It can get you stuck off that mat. It can change your mindset from being, I'm stuck here, to I'm getting up, I'm taking this mat, and I'm going home. So he went away praising God. And I love this part. It says, I think I want to go. Yeah. He took what he had been lying on. Took. Okay? He walked away from that situation. Remember, he was a paralyzed man. He was stuck. He walked away from that position. And what I imagine is he had that mat under his arm after he had just gotten up. And he threw that thing away. He threw it on the side of the road on the way home. I don't know what he did with it, but he didn't take it home with him. He did not take that mat home with him. He was not giving himself the opportunity to lay back down in that position. He wasn't going back. He wasn't laying back down. He wasn't giving himself the opportunity. He had had that moment with the Lord, and he knew that power and the strength that he got from that was stronger than anything that, you know, that mat had. That mat wasn't holding him down because Jesus is intervening, picking him up off the mat, not even touching him actually, just speaking to him and picking him up off that mat. So I want to tell you guys that God is doing the same thing for you guys this week. You know, he wants you guys, you know, we might feel like we're stuck on a mat, but, you know, he wants you to leave that mat behind. You can leave it here at the altar. You can leave it anywhere in this building. We don't care, but don't take it home with you. And so leave those things that make you feel so stuck behind. You know, he wants you to remember who you are in Christ. You know, those things that are on that mat, those aren't of Christ. Those aren't anything that he wants you to be dealing with. And so I just wanted to let you guys know, like, you know, give yourself the chance to be in the presence of Jesus. I challenge you guys tonight to just truly just get up here. Whatever you guys might be going through, whatever might be making you guys feel stuck, pray about it and just see where it gets you guys, because I truly believe that there's going to be a lot of things that you came with and you're not going home. Your bag will be lighter. You'll be lighter. Believe me. And so, yeah, but it's kind of my message. But, yeah.
Good word this morning. I told you.